Hey everybody, welcome back to Discipleship Podcasts put on by the Bend International Church of Christ. I'm Joey Hungerford and I'm excited that you've tuned in. It is now 2024 and we are going into season 9, talking about disciple making through the month of February and countercultural hot topic issues in the month of March. So please stick around for the 3 or 4 episodes on disciple making and not just skip forward to the hot topics of race, gender, sexuality, politics coming up in March. I hope you stick around for all of it. Hey, if you haven't yet, please share with a friend, like this podcast, give it a good rating, maybe even a review on whatever platform you're listening to. Thank you so much for tuning in and have a blessed day.
Today we're going to be talking about how do disciples live in the world. And first I want to start with just a super small recap. What is a disciple of Christ? A disciple of Christ is, you know, a follower and a learner of Christ. We read scriptures, we say, this is what Jesus did, this is what we want to do. We want to follow and imitate him. And Joey talked about that in one of the previous sermons. One of the previous sermons of the series. You can go and listen to that for more in-depth on what is a disciple of Christ. But basic, follower and learner of Christ. It's very easy to be a disciple of the world. It's very easy to follow everything that the world does. Look out for number one. Do what makes you feel comfortable. Live your truth. It really isn't what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus calls us to carry our cross daily. We're going to start in John 15, if you want to turn over there. Jesus says to carry our cross daily, which means, you know, denying ourselves of our comforts, denying what we think is right for what God thinks is right. John 15, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. This is from the NLT. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer a part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me naturally, they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. Okay. Yeah, this is a hard truth. Jesus says that the world is going to hate us for living our lives as a disciple. For, you know, living for him. I don't think any of us really want to be hated. Like, who wants to be hated by our friends? Who wants to be hated by those who are closest to us, by our families? Nobody? With that, there's the dynamic of how do we have this relationship with other people when there's this animosity of, oh, but you're that Jesus freak. You're that guy. You're the person who loves Jesus, and I don't really like God at all. How do we have that kind of dynamic of walking through this tension of loving people when being hated by them? I think of James when he says, "Consider it pure joy." Not that James. Sorry. Consider it pure joys undergoing trials of many kinds. Mm-hmm. And this is one trial where it's hard. It's a hard truth and a hard thing to be hated, but we're called, again, to pick up our cross daily. Go ahead and turn over to Colossians 3. This is where we are going to spend the bulk of our time. Talking about living in the world versus living in Christ. And we're going to dive into and what that means. We're going to dive into living in the world. We're going to dive into the difference of that and living it for Christ. So Colossians 3. You know, thinking about this concept of living in the world versus living for Christ, again, there's hard truths in this. Hard truth of, am I surrendered to Christ or am I surrendered to the world? Am I surrendered to Christ or am I surrendered to my selfish nature? You know, what are you focused on? Are you focused on, again, Christ, or are you focused on yourself? I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 to start out. Colossians 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in this place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. This is a heart, Paul's talking about a heart focused on Christ rather than a heart focused on self. A heart focused on what is to come rather than what is here and now. Small note on that, not to say that there were the people who said, oh, we're just going to wait for Jesus to come. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's not saying don't do nothing, but he's saying set your sights on heaven. Live for that. Don't live for the world. What does that mean for our day-to-day lives? One thing I think about, one thing that Bronk and I were talking about is, and when we're thinking about our workplace, when we're thinking about the people we interact with day to day, are we thinking about how we can be with them in heaven? Like, are we thinking about how are we thinking about, man, I want to be in heaven with this person. I can't think about this person not making it to heaven, this coworker not making it to heaven. It's that, again, that idea that it's not about us, it's about being with Christ. And when we have that mindset of being Christ-focused and heaven-focused, our coworkers or the people who are in our lives are going to see that. They're going to see, wow, that's something different. How do you live your life? What is going on? What is that? People will ask and people will see. But again, it's having that heart focused on Christ and focusing on him rather than ourselves. Again, it means surrendering. It means laying down our life, picking up our cross. Continuing on in the scripture, we're going to read 5 through 11. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. You know, there's that song at the beginning of Lion King 2, he lives in you. You know, that's so true. This verse 11, Christ is in all of us, and that is what matters, is focusing on him. But living this life means that we have to count the cost. We have to count the cost and put these things behind us and put on our new self. Put off the old and put on the new. You know, in your walk as a disciple, have you ever felt like or questioned? I used to do this in the world, but here I am doing this again. Does that ever convict you or cut you to the heart? When I think about these things, I know it's not listed here, but I think of my pride. My pride is something that I have to wrangle in and be humble so often. Wrangle in, be humble so often, and surrender my pride to God, to be humble, because I don't know everything. I'm not right all the time, I'm not right all the time. I think another example in my life is that it's really easy for me to get angry at work. A lot of people here probably think I'm a really calm person, which for the most part I am. My patience gets tested often at work, which can be infuriating. And it's that same moment that at work where I have to surrender my life, surrender my anger and not give in. Because again, how am I thinking of my coworkers rather than myself? How am I thinking, man, I need to show them grace. I need to show them the same kind of grace that God showed us. That God showed me. You know, thinking about this, what act of the flesh draws you in? Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows the things that's going to poke and prod us and draw us, bring us away from God. He knows the things that will that'll tempt us. He's the father of lies. He is the tempter. He knows what to say or what to do to get us thinking that maybe, possibly, that sin, that indulgence that we want to go into is better than surrendering to Christ. You know, it's not always the big things. It's not always the, man, I just can't stop lusting after this person at work. Or the, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, end of story, that's it. Or, you know, he talked about idolatry in the form of greed, but, you know, what other idols can we have, right? Mm-hmm. Phones. Phones are a huge thing in our society that, you know, we can't really get away from. Mm-hmm. But also, social media is on our phones. Very, very easy to hold those things as an idol. Mm-hmm. But those are big things. It's the small things that matter, too. Mm-hmm. It's not just the people don't leave Christ or decide to stop following Christ always because of the big things. There can be the small things, the small pokes, the small prods, the water taking away rock over time, erosion. It's the small things that can really erode our faith without knowing it. Mm-hmm. Things that come to mind are, you know, do you hold a grudge? Do you harbor bitterness because not saying something? Or rather, do you not say something and then allow someone else to be heard? Mm-hmm. It's the big things, but it's not just the big things. The small things, the quote-unquote small sins, are the things that can really get at us and get at our heart, pull our heart away from God. Mm-hmm. Another question to consider is, what gets in the way of being rooted in Christ and living for Him in our day-to-day? Would you rather be comfortable in this world or comforted by Christ? Stagnant in the world or dynamic in Christ? We grow from being discipled by one another. We grow by spending time in the Word, alone and with one another, and in prayer alone and with one another, by devoting our life to Him. I think sharing a personal example of what keeps me, I talked about it just a little bit, but what keeps me from being rooted in Christ is my pride. Even earlier this week, Veronica and I were having breakfast, and we're doing a sugar fast, and I wanted orange juice. And in my pride, I said, it doesn't have sugar inside of it, it's just the orange. So I'm gonna have it. Which, you know, sure, the legality of it, the technicality of it, is that yes, there's no added sugar. But in me searching for the loophole, my heart is saying, no, you do what you want. Don't sacrifice this. Don't put God first. Rather, put yourself first. You know, Veronica called that out. She said, you know, this doesn't make sense why you're doing this. I even got an orange, so I wouldn't have this juice. I would just have the orange. And she's like, no, that doesn't make sense. And that's pride. That is when we are, when I'm not rooted in Christ, I am rooted in my pride. That is what I am pulling from. That is what I am drawing from instead of from Christ. Not being heaven-focused, but being self-focused. There is encouragement. We talked a lot about sin just now. There is encouragement. We're going to continue reading. Verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful. When I read that, I often, that first part of clothing yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, just reminds me of fruit of the Spirit. How do we clothe ourselves with that? We walk with the Spirit. I think before getting ahead of myself and talking about that, something we need to realize and something that is so encouraging and amazing is that we are God's holy people. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Chosen by us because He loves us. Chosen by Him because He loves us. So then, we must clothe ourselves. How do we do that? How do we clothe ourselves with all these things? It can be so difficult, and quite frankly, easy to say, no, I don't want to do that. Like I said, be rooted in ourselves rather than rooted in Christ. I think Paul gives some great examples in the following verses. Make allowances for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. How often do we remember that the amount that Christ has forgiven us? How often do we remember what we've been forgiven of and give that same kind of grace to others? It's so easy to be bitter, and it's so easy to hold something against people because it's we'd have to, you know, deny ourselves. We have to pick up our cross in order to say, you know what, this hurt, but I'm going to forgive you. This hurt, but I'm going to show you kindness and mercy. Paul warns us in Galatians 5:15 that when we don't have a forgiving heart, we will just bite and devour one another. Mm-hmm. And that's not Christ-like. That is not that's not what we're called to do. That is the opposite of laying our cross down, or that is the opposite of picking up our cross. That is our laying our cross down. So we have some butterflies on the other side of the window. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You know, love binds all these things together, and it's not, you know, love is not this, you know, this butterfly feeling in your stomach. It is action. Sure, there could be an emotion and a feeling, but it is action. We love one another. We show love of Christ for one another. We show love of Christ to our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we see on a day-to-day basis, people that we just meet randomly. If we do not have love, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13, it's like a resounding gong. It's nothing. It's meaningless. If we do all these things without love, it is meaningless. Being a disciple means putting off ourselves and clothing ourselves with Christ, relying on Him, trusting Him, and surrendering ourselves to Him. We're going to keep reading verses 16 and 17. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Our relationship with Christ comes from being with Him in word and in prayer, experiencing His peace and showing that same peace and love to each other, to, again, our neighbors and our coworkers. When we are doing what we do for Christ, it is shown in how we do it. When we are living, as verse 17 talks about, as a representative of the Lord, people see that. People see, again, the difference. People see the difference of the surrendering your life to Christ, the not responding angrily, the, hey, I need to be honest with you about this. Because sharing vulnerably with people that don't I don't remember where that thought was going. Mm-hmm. Anyway, being a representative of Christ means living for Him, and people are going to see that. Mm-hmm. What is the result of the word living in your heart? The result is, as it says earlier, you'll be merciful, you'll be kind, you'll be humble, gentle, patient. Thinking about practicals. How do we make this? How do we make this practical to our day-to-day life? I think is letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You have to surrender. You have to surrender your pride. You have to be humble. You have to surrender your anger to God. Trust in Him. Surrender anxiety. When we are in peace with Christ, then when we have that peace with Christ, we are able to serve Him and we're able to serve others. Gratitude. Remembering what it is that God has given you. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks for everything that He has done for you. Praising Him. Worshiping Him. There's just... we have to remember what God has given us. Otherwise, we become like the Israelites who never remembered what it is that Christ, what it is that God has done. When we don't remember and are not thankful for it, is then we can slip back into the patterns of the world rather than being renewed by the Spirit. When we are circumcised by Christ, when we put off the old and put on the new, is when we are circumcised by Christ. Go ahead and turn over to Colossians 2. Transitioning to communion. I'm going to read verses 6 to 15. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you are taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. When we accept Jesus as our Lord, as we become disciples of Him, it's the letting our roots grow down. What are we focused on? Are we focused on Christ? Or are we focused on Jesus? Are we focused on Christ or are we focused on ourselves? There are so many things in this world that want to bring us down, want to bring us away from Christ. But again, we have fullness in Christ. We're complete with Christ. He died for us so that we can walk with Him. We can have this relationship with Him. we put off the old self through baptism and put on the new self, new creation with the Spirit, walking with Him in everything that we do. I want to read an excerpt from Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis. I think the excerpt I want to read has a really beautiful depiction of this thought of circumcision and what that means and what that is, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Just a little bit of background. I'm sure as most of everyone here knows, Aslan is the Jesus figure of the book. Eustace is the character we're going to be reading about, interacting with Aslan, and he is one of the main characters. Some of his main tropes is that he thinks he is right all the time. He's very greedy. He's proud. Arrogant and just flat out unrepentant. He ran away from the main group and because of his sin was transformed into a dragon and covered in scales. After being a dragon for a while, he is humbled by being a dragon and sees his pride and selfishness and is called out to the mountain by Aslan, where there's a pool of water, and Eustace is told to undress by Aslan. He tries to do this a few different times, and that's where we're going to pick up. So he's tried it once before. He's trying it again. Well, exactly. Exactly the same thing happened again. And I thought to myself, oh dear, however many skins have I got to take off? For I was longing to bathe my leg. So I scratched away for the third time and got off a third skin, just like the two others, and stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good. Then the lion said, but I don't know if it spoke. You will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty near desperate now, so I just lay flat down on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart, and when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peeled off. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done it myself the other three times, only they had not hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch and smaller than I had ever been. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that very much, for I was very tender underneath now that I had no skin on, and threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious, and as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again. Okay. I think this is a beautiful depiction by C.S. Lewis of what we're able to do by ourselves versus what we're able to do with Christ. Eustace was not able to pull off his skin. He was not able to shed his sin by himself. Every time he did it, there was no pain, and it was just a thin layer. But Aslan, or Christ, coming and saying, I will take this away from you. I will remove this layer. Cut straight to his heart. And it hurt. There is hurt when it comes to shedding off our sin. But we are then new creations. By ourselves, we are these dragons, wilting in our own skin with these thick scales. And no matter how much we try to take it off ourselves, we cannot. There will be no transformation without Christ. With Christ, when we allow ourselves to be transformed with Him, it will hurt. But it is then that we can live as new creation. And these new beings that have been circumcised of our flesh are now living for Christ. And that is the beauty of the cross, of Jesus bearing our sins for us, being able to have this relationship with Him, being able to seek Him and put Him first. We're able to be new creations because of His death, burial, and resurrection. Join me now as I pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made with Jesus on the cross, dying for us, that we get to live this life for you, that we get to live this life as disciples. Lord, I'm just so grateful for that sacrifice. Lord, help us to be humble, to trust you, God, to put off our old selves and to live for you, to not be beasts or dragons with scales so thick, but God, to lay ourselves down, to lay our sins down and trust in you. I pray that your will be done. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.